Blog Talk Radio.
Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. A love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. A love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind. A love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass.
All right. All right. I'm back. My name is Yamsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People study show. I know you may be wondering, and rightfully so, Yamsuf, what is the Real Talk for Real People study show about? Good question. And the answer is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, a complete, accurate intelligence study with no cross-contaminant. So you can get to the bottom of the matter. In these studies, We offer two segments. And in those segments, we give you a critical analysis and assessment. We give you a bird's eye view. We try to garner all the information we can at that moment. We try to dot every T in that regard and dot every I in that regard and cross every T. We try to do our best to give you a correct version of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and everything related to him is true. And perhaps you're wondering, Yom Suf, who is the we you're making reference to? And that's a good question, which is Sister Abiyah from New York City and Brother Cartier from New York City also. Also, you may be wondering, and rightfully so, Yom Suf, what about their education? Good question. They have wisdom and understanding. That's all I need to know. That's all you need to know. Yom Suf, what about the work they put in for the Elohim? Good question. They love the Most High with all their hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and their brothers and sisters as they love themselves. And they do put in work. As a matter of fact, specifically in regards to this show, this study show, they're here as often as time permits, and that's quite often, to put in work to help share in these studies, to help sharpen you. And if it's good enough for the Elohim, it's good enough for me. And certainly it should be good enough for you too. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Let's bring him on, by the way. Sister Abiyah, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom. Sister Abiyah, your mic is hot. Shalom. Okay, well.
Greetings, family.
Okay.
Oh, praises and glory to Yah. And it's always good to be back. So shalom.
Praise Yah, Sister Abiyah. Sure, you must have had your mic off. Sister Abiyah?
No.
Did you have your mic on mute?
No, I didn't hear you when you were speaking to me.
Oh. Okay.
Because I had stepped away, put something up.
Oh, don't be playing with me. All right. Thank you.
No, you didn't lose your mind completely. Not yet.
Don't be playing with me. Thank you, Sister Abiyah. Now, Brother Cartier from New York City. Brother Cartier, your mic is hot. May the Most High bless you.
Shalom, shalom, may the Most High bless you, Yom Suf, Sister Abiyah. All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I thought the FBI, CIA was playing with Sister Abiyah tonight.
I
was with you yesterday.
Abiyah, what's going on?
God bless you too, my brother.
I figured it'd be me tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah. More than likely, Cotriel. It was me yesterday and Sister Ed, but unfortunately, well, gladly, it wasn't Abiyah. We thought Abiyah was under direct attack, and then we knew Cartier was in line for the next wave of attack. But fortunately, it wasn't him. It's just Sister Abiyah and Mr. Beat, but the beat goes on.
Yeah, your mic sound a little wobbly. I don't know if they're messing with you now, but
I wouldn't doubt it, Cartier. Mm-hmm. To tell the truth about it, brother, I would not doubt it.
And you opened up with the introduction that we study Yah, and mm-hmm. we do.
Exactly.
I was having a conversation with my grandson today.
Right.
And I was explaining to him that the Old Testament from Bereshit to Malachi is actually a history book, and people don't pay attention or see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it is in fact a history book. If we're talking about Abraham, then we must be talking about Noah and Shem and all that is history. That's not mythology or religion. So I was explaining to him that it's more of a history book than a religious book. But people see it as a religious book because the creator of the universe is so intricately involved in the history of the nation of Israel and our ancestors.
Right. That certainly is the case, Katria. That certainly is the case. It's a history.
Yeah.
Let's get started. Thank you, Katria. Mm-hmm. What did your grandson say in response to that, Katria?
Well, he's studying the Babylonian society, studying Japan. He's studying world cultures. And he kept saying black, you know, we as black people. I'm like, we're not black people. Japanese and Chinese people don't call themselves yellow.
Right.
You better not call it Japanese Chinese or Chinese Japanese. They let you know who they are.
Okay.
And that's what we should do. We should
right.
accept the terms that they give us, black, Negro, colored, African American. No, we need to find out who we actually are. And when people call us outside of our name, we should straighten them out like they will do us. Right? You can't call a Frenchman Russian or Englishman a Polish.
Right.
They're straightening you out real quick. I'm not Polish. I'm English.
Well,
I'm not English. I'm French. Huh?
I can assure you now, if they're not Russian, they don't want to be called Russian. Not at this juncture.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Katya. And what did your grandsons say in response to that?
Well, he was receiving it in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he already, you know, subliminally knew
right.
that we were talking about history when we read scriptures. But he told me that he went to a Mormon church to see how they worship, and he was totally turned off by how they conduct their services. But he's searching, so
right.
trying to give him some answers.
That's a good thing. He's searching.
Yeah.
Keep searching, young brother. Keep searching. Thank you, Cardrell. Appreciate that. Thank you, Sustavia. Appreciate you. Thank you, fellow students. We appreciate you. And let's get to work for the LOM. Let's get to work for one another. Let's sharpen them. Can we turn to the 18th book of Bereshit, the son of promise? Yeah, some of y'all call it Genesis, the Greek version. But let's go to the original source. Bereshit is the actual name of this book. Bear that in mind. Then Yah appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Marin, always by that tree. He was sitting in the tent door in the heat. He was sitting, you know, getting him some fresh air of his tent in the heat of the day, Abraham. So he lifted his eyes and looked. And, you know, I like his mannerism, too. Learn something from the ancient father. Check this out. He lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing before him, so he thought. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, humble. Not, I'm sorry, special, Abraham. I conquered four kings. I got all this gold and treasure and riches and cattle and lambs and sheep. Man, I'm something special. So they need to come to me. He had a good attitude. He went to meet them. And he says to them, but his actions indicative of his humility. He ran for the tent to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, have I found favor in your sight? So obviously, he knew who the Elohim was and a reflection of who the Elohim was, because one of those entities was representative of Yah. The other two were simply angels of Yah going on a duty, a job that he was sending them to do. But he took the time off to talk to Abraham, our father, and Sarah, to give them information. But he didn't go along with them for them to do that job. He sort of went back to what he was doing. But this is not Yah in the sense of the physical person. This Yah is in the sense of a depiction of what Yah appeared to Abraham at that time. Because if he actually saw... Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
All these three angels are servants of Yah.
Okay.
They just have ranking.
Okay,
right? Gotcha. He has ranking. And the chief angel is the chief messenger from the Most High. We don't know which angel it is, but he's the chief messenger.
Exactly.
And the message that he brings is Yah's word.
Praise Yah, Cottrell. Thank you for that.
Praise Yah.
Brother, you always keep us on the right track. Thank you. Sometimes Yum Soup gets off. That's why I said, don't follow Yum Soup. Because Yum Soup will lead you right in the traffic. Follow all of us who follow the Most High word. That's what you do. And once we get off track, you need to say, hold on, I can't continue walking along that track. That's why we keep each other sharp. It's a wonderful thing to have a brother and sister who keep you on the
track. You know, commentators, when they analyze this, they try to say it was Jesus in the flesh.
Oh, man, I don't even know nothing about none of that. I didn't go to that far. Okay.
Yeah.
They keep their comments to themselves, country. They're just like other parts of your body. Everybody got one. I'm coming. may my Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, this chief messenger, do not pass on by yourself. Don't keep going. Please let a little water be better. Let me give you some refreshment. Be brought to you and let me help get your foot washed and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel. Go ahead, Cottrell.
So you know this angel is the same angel that met Hagar, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The chief angel. Mm-hmm. Same guy.
But he was by himself. When he met Hagar.
Not this time. Now, when he met Hagar, yeah, Cartier, he was by himself. But this time, he got some brothers on a mission. Okay? It is something.
What you call headbangers.
Them headbangers on a mission.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to find out. Thank you, Cartier. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by and you may go on about your business. And so much as you have come to your service, that you took the time out to spend some time with me. They said, do as you said. Okay, Abraham, okay. Do as you said. Handle your business. We're going to sit down and get our feet washed and have something to eat. So Abraham.
It sound like that Southern hospitality y'all got down south.
Yeah, that he would get it. He was showing them love, bro. He was breaking bread. Thank you, Cottrell. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah, his wife, and said, quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine. He told her how to fix it. Fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd. His brother was in a hurry to show love, unlike some of us. Took a tender and good calf and gave it to the young man. And he hastened to prepare Also, in addition, he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. He had it cooked up real nice barbecue. I don't know how he did it. But he had it set up a real dining experience and squishing. And then look at his attitude. He didn't plop his behind down. He stood by them under the tree. He recognized that these were men. These angels were angels of importance and significance. He didn't go plopping his behind down. He stood in humility under the tree as they ate.
And they said, yeah, so,
yes.
How many servants did Abraham have?
He had many, but he served them.
He's doing it all himself, isn't he?
He's a humble guy. Mm-hmm. That's what I like about this brother, Cottrell. I like about our father because he was a humble, mellow kind of fellow. You know, he didn't care about what he had, who he was, or whatnot. Only thing he cared would do procedure, protocol, and specification and recognition. You know, he wasn't something special in his eyes. I'm just operating.
But he recognized.
Mm-hmm.
He recognized forces that were greater than him.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because he immediately humbled himself before these 3 men. You talking about 3 men? After he defeated 5 kings, why should he go bow down to 3 men? Oh, he knew they weren't just ordinary men.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Recognize who they were. And we need to learn and start trying to recognize the important significance of protocol and procedure. It's true. Well, it'll help us along the way in these studies, too. So he took the butter and the milk and the calf, which he had prepared, and set it before them. He stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife. They even know, they knew who Sarah was. So he said, here in the tent, and he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. It's talking about the child being born of Isaac. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now, Sarah, eavesdropping like most women do, was listening in the tent door. So she was
and they knew her right name, right? Because they changed her name from Sarah to Sarah. But they already knew what her name was.
Exactly. And women, our mother being our, just like our women, no want to know what's going on, was listening at the tent door, eavesdropping, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were well old, well advanced in age, and Sarah, thinking this in her mind, had passed the age of cherubim, and she's thinking this. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. She didn't laugh out loud. She said, okay, I'm an old woman. My husband's an old man. And she says, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord, being old also, shall I have the pleasure of childbirth, the pleasure of being with my husband, and the pleasure of having a son? My Lord, being old also? All these things can't go together. Oh, no baby. Husband, oh, no sexual experiences at that age. Or not very little at the most. And Yah, the special angel, said to Abraham, and he knew this in his heart. Why did Sarah laugh by what I said? Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? That she questioned herself. And this angel said, is there anything too hard for Yah? Come on now. At the point of time, I will return to you according to the time of life of your son Isaac. And Sarah shall have that son. But Sarah denied it, saying, Sarah, being a woman, denied it, saying, and she didn't. She didn't laugh out loud, but she laughed within her heart. I didn't laugh, but she lying because she laughed in the heart because she found that quite unbelievable. I'm an old woman. Me and my husband ain't getting down like that no more, and we certainly ain't going to have no younger. And he said...
So what does that say, Johnson?
People are human. People are human. People respond in a human fashion sometimes, just like Sarah. Don't knock her for it. Cause
how about the angels?
Oh, yeah.
The fact that they could read her thoughts.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't saying that to nobody. She's listening. And inside of herself, she's thinking these thoughts and laughing.
Yeah.
The angel is hearing her thoughts, seeing her laughing within herself.
Right.
And he called her out. Abraham, why is Sarah laughing?
Sarah, they're laughing.
That
but she didn't do it out loud. But he read her heart.
Which shows they had power, right?
Yeah, power.
Tremendous powers.
Tremendous. And she justified herself. No, she didn't really justify. She just told the truth. The reason why she said, I did not laugh, because she was afraid. Because she knew these men had read her mind, read her heart, read her intent. And he said, this angel, no, you did laugh. You laughed within yourself. You caused the Most High in question. And he put her back in her place. No, you did laugh. Come on now. Stop lying, child.
But she wasn't lying because she didn't laugh out loud.
No,
but she didn't know that they heard her laugh within.
That's what I'm saying. Abraham intercedes for Sodom. I mean, I like, you know, you can't help but love this kind of brother. I mean, he had his problem with Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, they weren't his special kind of people. But here's the deal. You know how a lot of us like to throw each other under the bus? Think about that. This wasn't that kind of brother. If he wasn't the kind of brother that throw his own lots, his own blood under the bus, he wasn't about to throw those Sodomites and Gomorrahites under the bus. He wanted them to have a chance for restoration and correction, unlike some of us, unfortunately. That's why the Most High said, from the rock you were hewn from and the ditch you were dug from. Don't follow Yom Suf. Who the hell is Yom Suf? The rock You were dug, hewn from, and it did you would emulate those characteristics of caring about other folk other than yourself, especially your brothers and sisters. Then the men,
yeah, wrote, some of us want to see the Most High's judgment tomorrow or yesterday. Some of us.
Oh, God, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you because you certainly ain't lying. And you said a mouthful there, unfortunately, for some of us. Praise God.
Definitely ain't like Abraham.
No, they ain't like the rock they were hewn from, under the ditch they were dug from. That's a fact. And the evidence don't lie, Katrina. And the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom. Oh, they had plans. And Abram went with them to send them on the way. But he knew something was going on. And Yah said, and Yah fell in some sort of way, because he got love. He considered Abraham a friend. He wasn't going to hold nothing from him. He said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing, what I'm about to do, for Sodom and Gomorrah is concerned? Since Abraham should have become a great and mighty nation, because he's a friend of mine. And all the nations of the world, of the earth, shall be blessed. This man is the source of all things to come. Shall be blessed. And he's my friend. For I have known him in order that he may command his children, that's what you should be doing in your own house, and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Elohim to do what? Righteousness and justice. Not get a good career. Not get some income, but we're here to do righteousness and justice. A lot of us don't understand that, Katrina. Righteousness and justice.
Yeah,
go ahead, my brother.
So the Most High is about to tell Abraham what he's about to do, right?
Exactly.
You know why he's doing that?
Clarify, Katrina.
Because Lot is there. Now he had not told Abraham that he was about to bust Sodom and Gomorrah down.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham, knowing that Lot was there, Abraham might have had second thoughts about Lot. I mean, yeah, like, why didn't you tell me he was going to do that?
Right.
He knew my nephew was down there.
Right.
So the fact that Yah is revealing that he's about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, put judgment on them, he's giving Abraham an opportunity to inquire about his nephew, his family, his herdsmen, all that's in Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot and his family.
Well, he did, Katrina, because in his negotiation with that special angel that was connected with the Elohim, in his negotiation, his whole intent was to look after Lot. And he figured, five people? Oh, I'm sure there are five people there. I mean, my nephew is one. Surely we get four more. But unfortunately, he's wrong.
Just like what the Most High was saying to Abraham, that he knows he's a righteous man, that he's going to teach his children and his family. And we know Abraham did that with his 318 men because they was loyal and dedicated to him. I'm sure Abraham was hoping that Lot got the same teaching from Abraham as well as his men, that Lot was able to share it with his herdsmen and his people that he had. So I'm thinking that Abraham was hoping that Lot's influence would be on the people around him, like his influence was on the people around him. Abraham's influence was on the people around him.
So exactly.
It didn't quite work out that way, but.
So then what is happening too, right, is that he's reminding them of the promise that he made, especially with Sarah having the baby and everything, and what's going to happen?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Abraham could have been vindictive because Lot chose the land that was watered, well watered, and he had to go rescue him from Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, from the king, Chedorlaomer, and his king. Abraham could have just threw his hands in the air and said, do what you're going to do, y'all. You know, I tried to teach Lot, but he ain't, you know, really listening or follow me. But Abraham had love for his nephew.
Yeah, I was thinking, why was Sarah and didn't remember that she was told that before? So that clicked in my mind also. And like you said, I believe Yang Tzu said, as you go on, it's like he's going to bargain with, yeah, so you know he has to be special in order to even ask Yah.
Exactly.
So exactly. He's really very spiritually blessed with Yah.
Well, he had a relationship with Yah, and he's a friend of Yah. And Yah knows, and Yah knows he's going to be concerned about Lot. And so Yah is placating and alleviating his concerns. And Abraham is negotiating and looking after not only for the Sodomites and the Gomorrites, he's looking out for the best interest in as far as his nephew is concerned, because he's saying to himself, surely out of Sodom and Gomorrah, these two cities, it's got to be for other people.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if I can negotiate it down to the lowest common denominator, which is 5, from the original 50, a percentage.
Yeah. With that 50, I think that he was thinking about Lot and his men and the people that were with him. I don't think he was necessarily thinking about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Okay. Well, apparently, his men went on the program, Cartrell. Apparently, his men got with the mess, as we call it. We use another word in the hood called S. Apparently, they got with the mess. And they got down with the goddamn. Because you're right, Katya. Mm-hmm. I think you're right, my brother. You own to something. But they got with the program, too. They were doing whatever they were doing. You know?
So why would you start out with just 50 if you're talking about a city? How about 1,000 or 2,000?
Hey, he had no time.
Two cities. 50? You only starting out with 50?
Apparently, Abraham knew about him. He knew what kind of
country
they were. And he had a very low regard for these people.
Which is why he didn't accept that tithe from that king. Remember? The king
exactly.
of Sodom tried to give him some tithe.
Right.
He said, no, you're not going to say you made me rich. Give it to,
right.
you know, the four brothers that helped me find out what happened to Lot.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't want nothing from their hand. Can we lose John Super again? I think we lost him again.
Oh, boy. I'll check.
Okay. Cadrell, Sister Abigail, we are having, and fellow students, we are having a wonderful, informative series of study. I mean, we are beating this against our heads and whatnot. And we're digging up a lot of information, valuable information. And I hope y'all are going along with us, because it will help you, okay? Thank you, Cadrell. Thank you, Sister Abigail. Very appreciative. Huh?
I was trying to text you, but you back. Okay.
I wasn't going nowhere. You mind your own business. Don't be texting me.
No, me and Brother Cartel couldn't even hear you.
I was talking to my wife. Can I have a wife to husband moment in the background?
Wait, at least let us know you're going to do that. Don't just drop the mic and walk off.
Thank you,
Brother Cartel. You think the FBI, the CIA is after you or something, huh?
My bad.
That's right.
My bad, y'all.
But I wanted to say that in what we're reading here is the moral of the story is that nothing is impossible. Sarah
right.
thought she was past childbearing age. Abraham talking about he's old and
right.
they can't have children. But
right.
the Most High, nothing is impossible for them. He's
right.
100. She's 90. We just read where people were 800 and 900 years old still having children.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are they talking about? Yah can't. Revive Sarah to give her birth. And nothing's
yeah.
impossible for the Most High, especially when he does miracles.
I don't put no limitation on the LOM today.
Oh, no, you can't.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that Sarah was able to have a child is the reason we're talking on the cell phone right now.
Because
if she had no baby, we wouldn't even be here.
You better believe it. And fellow students, I have to apologize for talking in a sidebar conversation with my wife. And Cottrell and Sister Avia is right to put me in correction. I said correction. I could have walked away. I could have did the right thing. Yeah, but I didn't. And I got caught up on the carpet. But I'm good with it. I'm going to do it the next time. I'm going to let them know. Believe it. See, on this show, we grow. We don't do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. Because you know what's going to happen? If I do that again, walk away from this mic, and Sister Abby going to be trying to text somebody, and Cottrell going to get on my behind. So I'll need that. I'm going to do it right next time. Okay.
Well,
did you just say we Negro?
No. I said no. My behind. Did I say Negro?
Like you said we Negro.
No.
I'm just pulling your leg. We grow.
Yeah, we grow. Oh, no.
I thought you said we Negro.
No, we grow. Oh man, I got you now, bro. I got you, Negro. We grow. Hey, look, we have good time, too, just like our brother's about to be born, Isaac. And you know what his names mean? He who laughs. He had a sense of humor, just like we have a sense of humor. You have to under the circumstances. Not that it's not serious. Sometimes you have to have light. You remember the prophet, I think that was Samuel, on the mountain with those many other prophets? He had a sense of humor.
Elijah.
Thank you, Katya, for that correction. Elijah on that mountain and in the competition, and they were spitting and speaking in tongues and whatnot, hitting each other, hitting themselves.
Cutting themselves.
And you know what Elijah said? Hey, maybe your God is asleep. Holler a little loud. That's cold. It's funny, though.
He said, maybe your God went to take a leak.
Yeah, you gotta even in a it was a serious situation. Wasn't the situation serious? Yeah, it was serious. But sometimes you got to take a lighthearted moment, even with serious situations. Truth be told,
and it was serious for Abraham and Sarah because they thought they was past the beyond. We grandparents, we ain't having no more children. Y'all think it's funny, huh? I'm laughing at y'all. You're
right.
Gonna name that boy Isaac because y'all think it's funny.
Right. And that's that on that. And that's what happened. Thank you, Cottrell.
We're some funny people, ain't
we? Oh, we have a sense of humor.
Some of the funniest comedians on the planet.
Are us. Believe it. Thank you, Cottrell. Thank you, Sasavia. And he goes on to read in verse 18. Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, I need to be talking to this brother, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed as a result of him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Elohim, they keep Yah's way, and to do righteousness and justice. Not to talk about it, but to do it. That the Elohim... Go ahead.
Think about this, Yonso. He said to Abraham, that through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, right?
Right.
Yes.
So think about Abraham's children. It ain't just us, right? We know that through slavery, the European powers were super blessed, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they're blessed because Esau is the banker. They control the world bank, the world monetary system, and that's how they get their money, through Esau.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And then Ishmael, don't he control all the oil that they need to keep the beast going?
You better believe it.
So Abraham's children, Ishmael, Esau, and Jacob, we are a blessing to all the nations of the world.
Truth be told.
Mm-hmm.
And the evidence doesn't lie, Katrina. Thank you, brother, for bringing that to their attention. They needed to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that Yah may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the Elohim said through this spokesperson, this high angel, because, and he tells him the reason why he's about to do what he's about to do, which is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great. There's outcry against them in the heavens, among these angels, among the Most High, among wisdom and understanding, among the Satan. So there was great outcry.
From two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, it went all the way to the heavens.
Yeah.
And what happened in those two cities is happening worldwide now.
You better believe it. You better believe it.
You think the cry is a little bit louder?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think the cry is a little bit louder now than back in that time?
It's tumultuous.
Mm-hmm.
The outcry is tumultuous, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the drop in the bucket in Sodom and Gomorrah and the outcry now that is happening, universally speaking, is tumultuous. And the Most High is aggrieved by it. Believe me, something's going to go down now. They ain't going to get away.
Yeah.
And he said that sin is great, which is the sin of homosexuality, lesbianism, non-binary, transsexuals, violence, trisexuals, try anything. These were perverts to the great equation. These people are sexually perverted and violent. I told them gay people ain't that happy. They'll kill you if they want something from you. But you're going to find that out later on. They said, we're so happy. We just want to get along. We just want to march and love on everybody. Get in the wrong spot with them. You'll see what they really are. That's just a facade. That's just a whitewash. Their innate nature is violence. So stop lying to yourself and or each other. Saying, these people just want to live like regular people. They just want to march and have a good time. They kick up their high heels. Yeah, right. You get wrong with them, and they're running something. And they're in charge. You'll find out their true nature. They are violent people. Whether they have done, and their sin was very great. I will go down now, said his representatives, to see whether they have done, these two angels, all together according to the outcry against. I want to get to the bottom of the matter, as representative, special angel of Yah, against that that has come to me. If not, I will know. Then the two men, turned away from there and went toward Sodom, the two angels. But Abram still stood before the special angel of Yah. And Abraham came near and said to negotiate. Would you also be sure there were 50 righteous within the city? Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for 50 righteous that are in there? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this. Abraham says, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked, far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right in your judgment? So it says, so it seems, Abraham is thinking and saying. So the special ambassador of Yah says, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the place for their sakes. Abraham in further negotiations says, answered and said, indeed, now I am who am that dust and ash, and I ain't nothing, have taken it upon myself to speak to the special ambassador of Yah. Suppose in this negotiation, there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy the city for lack of 5? So he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. Then he spoke to him yet again and further pushing his negotiation and said, suppose there shall be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Further in his negotiation, pushing it further, and he said, let not Yah be angry in humility. I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I would not do it if I find 30. He said, indeed, now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the special ambassador of Yah. Suppose 20 should be found there. So the special ambassador said, so he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, Abraham, let not Yah be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. He said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. 10 people. So the special ambassador of Yah went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. I think he was always in his place. I don't think he ever got out of his place. I think, literally speaking, he went back to his house, but he always stayed in his place.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he was asking not for was his own interest. He was asking for the interest of his nephew and his nephew people. You know, his nephew had daughters, had a wife, had people working for him, as Cartier alluded to. But so it seemed they got with the mess too. Even his wife, she had to look back. She was missing the place already. That's why you don't look back in life. When you leave mess, you keep going. You can't be looking back in mess and think your life going to be better. Stop looking at the mess you came out of. That mess going to always pull you back. But that's another story. We're going to get there. May the Most High bless us, direct us, and order our steps. Contrail, Sister Abby, y'all have the mics.
It's a very high power story.
The only thing I have to say is that I would expect that Yah would want all of us to be like that, you know, have concern and compassion for others and, you know, just don't think about oneself.
Exactly. Exactly.
They went down to see if they could find 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
And we know at the end of the story they couldn't find 10. And that's a sad state of affairs because the same search is going out in the world today, what people are doing, because we know that Yah's going to bring judgment because of the cry that's going out from the earth today. There's violence everywhere, war everywhere, corruption everywhere, perversion everywhere. And the cry to earth has to be going out. And you may meet these messengers from the Most High. And sometimes you may recognize them if your spirit is in tune with the Most High. But it's apparent that when they got to Sodom and Gomorrah, the people didn't recognize them as angels. They thought they were ordinary men. So there may be angels walking around that look like ordinary men. And you may not even know it. Because your spirit ain't right. Abraham picked it up right away, and we're going to find out if Lot picked it up right away. But if you're in tune with the Most High, you should pick up his angels right away. And it's funny because they ate what Abraham gave them. People wonder if angels eat. They ate what he gave them, right? Mm-hmm. Made them a meal, they ate, and took care of their business.
Well, they were eating Kajal milk and honey.
Nah, Abraham made him some bread and got them a little young fine tender, one of the calves.
Yeah.
But you say you don't know if he barbecued or grilled it. Or
right.
Curried it. I don't know.
They got it done. And I know what the Kajal calls it. You know, these people in this new way. The red letter people tell them they're going to be eating milk and honey. I'm being sarcastic. You know, I knew the ate food, but I was being sarcastic, you know, because they talking about they going up to heaven and eating milk and honey. Okay. All right. I can be rather sarcastic sometimes, Cartrell, but I have a sense of humor. I have a sense of humor. Scotch is
Well, they did have milk. I don't know about the honey part. They turned that milk into butter.
Right.
And Abraham hooked them angels up with some food. I don't know if he used my Isha's recipe, that curry lamb, but that's probably where it came from.
Yep.
Brother, if I was there, I'd have used your Isha recipe.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to try that curry goat. I went shopping and everything, got everything that I needed, and couldn't find out they didn't have no curry goat in the place. So I'm still going to do it. I'm going to find me some goat.
You're going to love it. Believe me, you're going to love it.
Yeah, my wife is in tonight, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Oh, nah. You didn't tell me that part.
I don't want to spoil your appetite.
Yeah,
you ate dinner already?
Yeah. I eat dinner at 12 o'clock, Mama.
Oh, wow. Why you didn't call me? I could have came.
Oh. We do have leftovers. You can come tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Gadriel.
You know, I'm glad you said that. Tomorrow I'll be on, but I probably won't be able to talk because I'm going to have some dental work done.
Okay. All right. You can listen.
That's what I plan on doing.
Gadriel. Now, I have a bone to pick with Gadriel. I was sitting here minding my own business, Abby. I wasn't thinking about no curry goat per se. Mm-hmm. But the Cartrell mentioned it. As a matter of fact, he said it's a cook stove. Now, I think that's rather curable to a man that ain't cooked no more for him to mention that in the first place. But that's okay. That's all right. I see how he's going to do it.
Well, you should have thought of that when we was reading the story when Abraham went and got him a little tender goat.
Right.
Tell him, Brother Katya.
No. You ain't gonna blame that on Abraham, man. Okay? You the one brought it up and calls for. See, that's an eye laying. That's quite a long way away. An eye laying. Hold on. Katya is much closer by way of New York City than Canaan, okay? Now, Katya is in the ball set up that curry game. That's all I'm saying.
I started to be corrected because he didn't get a goat. He ain't got a calf, which is a cow, right?
Okay.
Calf is a calf.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a calf. Mm-hmm. So I guess we're going to let bygones be bygones and move on with the work of the LOM. Praise y'all.
Listen, we give you a pass when we hear you munching on the show, man. So I don't know if
you ain't lying.
That's right.
My bad, Cartrell. I'm sorry, brother.
Tell me.
My bad, brother. My bad. I'm even sorry for even bringing this. I don't know what I brought that up for in the first place. I'm sorry.
don't wear out that pass, man, because we have to call you out.
I know it, bro. You got me right. I know how to bag up and do a Michael Jackson moonwalk. I bagged up quick on that one. I'm sorry for even missing you, Cartrell. Say no more, brother. Continue on.
Yes, sir. So we're going back to the book of the Ecclesiastes, Contemplations of King Solomon, calls himself Lemuel, Koheleth. His alter ego. He wants to be a preacher man.
Preacher man.
Yeah, man. So Davia, where we at? 10 or 11?
We at 10.
All right. All praises to the Holy One of Yisrael and for our King, King Solomon. So we got mass criticism because he had 800 wives, 300 concubines, 7,365 days in a year. But he did drop some wisdom on us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1, King Solomon says, dead flies cause the oil of the perfumer to produce an evil odor. Yeah, you don't want no flies in your perfume. Something's wrong. Mm. So does a little folly outweigh wisdom and honor. Yeah, people you think are wise and honorable, if they act a fool, all that goes out the window. Right?
Exactly.
A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. I guess that means that a wise man protects his heart, and a fool, he just got his heart out there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess also, when a fool walks by the way, his understanding fails him, and he says to everyone that he is a fool. So your actions speak louder than what you say.
Mm-hmm.
If the spirit of the ruler rises up against you, don't leave your place, for gentleness lays great offenses to rest. So if you made the king mad, just stay cool, calm, and collected, and try to correct your mistake. Don't run, because then he's going to get you.
Right.
Words.
Stay in your place.
That's right.
Yes. That's like a lion. Can't run from a lion. You turn your back on a lion, he's going to get you. Or a tiger. You run, they got you.
It's a wrap.
Yep. King Solomon says, there's an evil which I've seen under the sun, and there's many evils under the sun, the sort of error which proceeds from the ruler. Okay, rulers could be an error. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in a low place. So he's saying there's foolish kings, and there's rich people who got wealth, and they're not so happy. I have seen servants on horses and princes walking like servants on the earth. You know, this is a famous quote, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they showed a picture of a white slave master while we picking cotton in the field.
That's about the gist.
I have seen servants, slave masters, call them crackers, on horses, and princes, what they doing? Walking like servants on the earth. He who digs a pit may fall into it. And whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. So you're doing evil, it's going to come back on you. Whoever carves out stone may be injured by them. Whoever splits wood may be endangered by it. If the axe is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But skill brings success. So Solomon is admiring competence. Got to sharpen up your tools, and you got to be skillful in using those tools. He can tell if you're not a skillful workman. If you're using a blunt axe to try to cut some wood, that means you're just hammering away, using more strength than using skill or wisdom. If the snake bites before it is charmed, then there's no profit for the charmer's tongue. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is swallowed by his own lips. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also multiplies words. So we know that about Facebook. People got a lot to say. And what they doing? They talking loud, ain't saying nothing.
Exactly.
He says the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, fool's book, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. They don't know what they're talking about. Man does not know what will be, and that which will be after him, who can tell him? Only a prophet. The labor of fools wearies every one of them, for he doesn't know how to go to the city. Woe to you, land, when your king is a child, and your princes eat in the morning. Oh, princes aren't supposed to eat in the morning? Okay. Sounds like discipline to me. I guess they're supposed to be working out when they're studying.
Right.
Happy are you, land, when your king is the son of nobles and your princes eat in due season. When is the appropriate time? For strength and not for drunkenness. So princes are supposed to eat for strength. They ain't supposed to be partying all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But by slothfulness, the roof sinks in, and through idleness of the hands, the house leaks. That's people who are apathetic. They see a problem, and they let the problem get bigger and bigger without addressing it. So if you're lazy, and you know that the roof is leaking, you got to get it fixed. Because if you don't fix it, he says the house will continue to leak. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes the life glad. And money is the answer for all things. At least that's what people think.
Yep.
Don't curse the king. No, not in your thoughts. Don't even think about cursing the king. And don't curse the rich in your bedroom, for a bird of the sky may carry your voice, and that which has wings may tell the matter. Oh, a little birdie told me that you
a little birdie.
I wonder where they got that from. They got that from King Solomon.
I guess that's called Contrail singing like a bird.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Did they call them stool pigeons?
Yeah, stool pigeons. And he sung like a canary. A little bird.
Now they call him what? Snitches get snitches.
Exactly.
They don't call him stool pigeons anymore. Snitches get snitches.
Exactly.
But you talking about a king. Better say positive things and even think positive things, because you better watch what comes out your mouth when you're dealing with a king.
A real
king. King Solomon is warning you, huh?
A real king. Not a puppet king.
Because you know people were thinking about King Solomon, man, you got 800 wives and 300 concubines. It's only 365 days in a year. Oh, you better watch your thought around the king. You criticizing the king for his 800 wives? All right.
Well, because it ain't your business.
Ain't none of your business.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about it now, but have you been living in King Solomon's time and the way people criticize King Solomon? They wouldn't have been around long.
No.
Because a little bird would have taken it right back to him, right?
Exactly.
I heard Brother Kachria talking about you, King Solomon. He was like, yo, you got too many wives. It's only 365 days in a year, bro. Yo, bring Kachria to me. What do you say? Bring your head out of his mouth. Huh?
Why are you in my
business? Huh?
Hey, Kings, why are you in my business, Kachria?
Oh, yeah.
Does my
now
business
I have to come up with an explanation, right?
Yeah, who would ask you, is my business any of your business? No, not sir. Not sir. He said, wait. Well, Yom Su would have said, no, sir. No, sir, it ain't Yom Su business. Whatever you do is your business. I ain't got to do it.
I would just say, yeah, I'm just admiring you, man. I don't know how you do it. 800. Ain't only 365 days a year. Tell me what the secret is, bro. I need to know.
God, turn around. I'm just a man. Man, you're a bad man.
Well, accolades for the king, baby.
Yeah,
you want to see me?
I got one wife. How do you do that?
Yeah, how do you do that? I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm searching for wisdom just like you, man.
Huh? I want to be like you when I grow up. God, you're really stupid. All right. Fellow students, Cottrell, Sister Abion, we had a delightful study of Yah's word, informative, warm, insightful, humble, and so on and so forth as far as Abraham is concerned. As far as the things King Solomon said is concerned, apply them to your lives. Stop doing like alcoholic, but none of it says that you ought to stop doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. You know, keep getting the same results if you don't try anything different. You tried the rest, try the best, try the LOM. That is for step and path. Be your pathways. That wisdom and understanding guide you. That the Most High love you and bless you by doing righteousness and justice. Praise Yah and bless His holy name. Cartrell, Sosavia, any closing remarks or any blessings?
Was
that a memo?
Was that a memo for Al Sharpton?
No.
Because he seemed to be doing the same thing over and over again with the same results. I don't know if somebody told him that's madness. That's insanity.
Exactly.
He keep on trying. He keep on trying to fulfill his dream.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do your
but,
thing. But I'm not going to do it.
Oh, no. No way, no how. And the fact that King Solomon is warning us about how to conduct yourself with the codes are before a king, because we haven't had a king before. We got politicians, presidents, and governors, and you could say any old thing about them. You could joke about them, write crazy books about them, but don't try that with a king. It's almost like when you write something negative about Muhammad, right, the prophet Muhammad, them Israelites will come after you, say something negative about Muhammad. But that's pretty much what it's like when you say something about a king. And we better be prepared because y'all are going to restore King David. And we better have that respect and honor for him like we should.
Exactly.
His son, King Solomon, is warning us. So we better take heart if we want to be in that number when the saints go marching in, because we're going to have a king. All praises.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, Cartrell? You were talking about Israel.
Well, all I say is, people seek wisdom so you can know what foolishness is, and you will know right from wrong. So I'm just going to say shalom and good night.
Thank you, sister. Shalom and good night. Cartrell.
Yes, sir.
You were talking about Ishmael.
Yeah.
I think during the course of history, Esau has infiltrated them. It has an influence over them to believe it.
Oh, they were partners, right? The 83rd Psalm, they were confederates.
Right. Yeah.
But people don't realize, as much as the West hates the Arabs, right?
Right.
Yeah.
The way we count, you know what they call it?
What?
Arab numerals. Arabic numerals. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 are Arabic numerals.
Mm, okay.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Because prior to Arabic numerals, they were using Roman numerals. You remember the Roman numerals, right?
Remember them?
Yeah.
We had to make lines. 1, 2, 3, 4. Then you had to cross 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10 was the X. 9 was the slash before the X. Right?
5 was the V.
Yeah.
5 was the V. Yeah.
And then you got to put all those things together in order to make huge numbers.
To add things up and to subtract things. So
that's
they switched to Arabic numeral. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, et cetera. That's Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's why you had to real talk for real people. Show you we had learned something. Be assured. Thank you, God.
Look it up. Think I'm lying.
I don't think you're lying, my brother.
All right.
Well, fellow students, we're going to get ready to get out of here. Like you heard, Eric Nelson, our brothers. And may the Most High bless you. We love you. Shalom. And good night.
Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass, brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, her love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, a love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on